You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
It is great to have you with us today, and spring is in the air. Come on, everybody. Excited emojis, clapping, cheering, spring's in the air. Next week, the clocks spring forward. And the only bad thing about that is that you have 1 hour less in bed next Saturday night. But we're super excited about the change in the season. And this next series for the next 4 weeks, which we're doing through this Easter season, is speaking about life. John 10:10. Jesus said that I've come to give you life and life to the full. Come on, I've come that you may have life and life to the full. Jesus has come to give us incredible life. He wants to breathe life into us in this new season. And we're believing as we preach and as we come into this spring that God is going to shift seasons for us, both in the natural, we see that happening, but also in the supernatural, the unseen, we see God doing things right now prophetically, and we see God moving by the Holy Spirit. And so we're getting ready for that. This series is called Life Today. Today, the message is called Life in Me. And what we're doing over 4 weeks is we're looking at four different gardens through the Bible. I don't know how, but over 4 weeks, we're giving you a really fast-paced meta-narrative of all of the Bible. Today, starting in Genesis chapter 1. On week 4, Revelation 22. And we're speaking about these four incredible gardens and what they teach us about our life today. So are you ready to go right back to Genesis chapter 1? Amazing. Before we do that, we're going to pray. I would love you just to put your hand on your heart as we do that. And what we're saying is, God, come and fill this space today. God, we just thank you for speaking through your word. And we pray it would resonate with us today. We thank you that your word today is going to speak by your Holy Spirit. You're going to illuminate to us things maybe we've not seen in your word before. And you're going to speak to us directly into our season. And we pray, God, that you would speak life. Your word always brings life. It always refreshes, or it always builds. It always does something constructive in our life. And so we pray as we hear your word, we would receive your word, and later we would do your word. We would be your word. And so we pray, God, that you'd speak, transform us today from the inside out. And may we see this new season with a whole new perspective of faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, it's been 12 months since we locked down March 23rd, 2020. 12 months. Wow. The Health Foundation put a report out that said over two-thirds, 69% of people were either concerned or very worried about the impact that lockdown had had on their life, their family's life, and on the world at large. And the truth is, every one of us has been impacted by repeated lockdowns. Every single one of us, if we were to look back over 12 months ago and look at who we were 12 months ago, we would see that the world has shifted dramatically in 12 months. There has been things shifted and collapsed in the space of a few days. The economy just went through the floor and yet has recovered now. And we see different areas of life where things have shifted, the way we communicate, the way we do meetings, the way we work, the way that we operate, the way we connect. All of these things, I mean, I am more technically savvy now than I ever have been in my life. In 12 months, I've learned how to use Zoom, Google Meet, FaceTime, all of these things. So in one sense, I'm grateful for that, but we could see how the world shifted, but we'd also look at our own life and see how we've changed. And some of those things are for the good, and other things we'd say have been really hard. Over the last 12 months, if we're all to be really honest, we could look at different moments, different spaces of lockdown, and go, that time was really tough. That time, my emotions felt, I felt dry and weary. It was hard for me to operate, hard for me to function because we've all been isolated. We've been disconnected. We've not been able to socialize and be around people as much as we would want to pre-COVID. Everything's changed. And yet now we look 12 months on and there is a sense of hope coming into 2021 in the natural, and we see things moving forward. And yet there is a greater hope for us in this new season that we're believing that God wants to shift a season in your life to embrace the new thing that he's got for you. We know from Genesis chapter 6 through to chapter 8, we see the account of Noah in the flood, and we see the time that Noah went into the ark and the time that Noah came out of the ark was 12 months and 10 days. We see that in the Bible, and it's incredible to think that in 12 months and nearly 10 days, we'll be at March 29th, we'll be moving into a new season of coming out into a new world. And for a moment, I want to prophesy over our world, over our nation, and over your life that we're going to step into a new environment. Come on, we're going to step into a fresh environment. There would have been no more fertile land than that which Noah was stepping into. And we're going to believe that we're going to step into a fertile land, that people are hungry for God. They're hungry for the truth. They're hungry to see men and women of God rise up to step out of this season and go, come on, we are more than conquerors. Creation is waiting in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Come on. It's time for you to step out of the ark and go, come on, world, I'm here. I'm ready as a son of God to be revealed to my world and speak hope and to speak life. And today we're speaking about life in me. Life in me. We're going to rewind back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. If you've got your Bibles, should be fairly easy for you to find. First book of the Bible, Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, over all the wild animals, over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. He created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. And they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and to the birds of the sky, all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, life in me, I will give green plants for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. He was very pleased, and he said, all this creation is incredible. It's very good. And there was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. This is the account of creation that we see in the Bible here. And I want to ask the question, what is it that we see about life in me from this creation account? From the very beginning, What does this show us about life in me today? And the first thing we see from this creation account is that I am designed by God. I am designed by God. Verse 26 of Genesis, chapter 1 says, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. God made man in his image and in his likeness. In the original language, this word likeness, it speaks of something that is similar but not identical. It's similar but not identical. And the word for image, we see the original word is about something that represents. And so what the account here in verse 26 is telling us is saying, let God make man to be like us and to represent us. To be like us and to represent us. Your design is to be like God and to represent God. Similar language that Jesus was using in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 22. The Pharisees were trying to catch him out and they're saying, you are not someone that, you know, you bow down to the spirit and the culture of the day. You're not someone that just, you know, looks at the authorities of the day and says, you know, I'll do whatever you tell me. You're kind of your own man. You're doing your own thing. And so tell us, Jesus, what should we do when it comes to paying taxes? They were trying to catch him out. And Jesus asked them to pass him a coin. And as he looked on the coin and he showed them, he said, whose image or whose likeness do you see on the coin? What he was saying to them is whose likeness and who's representing on this coin? When we look at our coins, we see the queen. We see the incredible queen. And when we see it, we're not looking at the queen, but we are looking at an image that is similar to the queen. We know what the queen looks like because we see an image, a likeness of her on our coins. We also understand by looking at our coin, this coin's value is representative of the queen's authority. And so now, when we are created in the likeness and in the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are representing the image. When people look at us, the church, they should see something that resembles God. They're like, I know what God is like because I've seen my neighbor. They are an image, a likeness of God, the God that they profess. And also, they represent God. I see by the way that they live their life, there is something that represents where they came from. So when we live our life and we understand where we came from, God made us in his image, in his likeness, male and female, he created us. When we live in the confidence of our identity, we are able to walk in our world and be the likeness of God to our world, and in a sense, carry the delegated authority of God wherever we go. People look at you and say, you represent God well. This is what we see on a coin because you are designed by God. Psalm 139 says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. This language is about awe and reverence at God. When he created you, he was in awe of his creation. We see in the account in Genesis, he says, it is very good. God did not make any mistakes. God looks at you and goes, wow, my creation is incredible. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says that God thought about you before even one of your days came to be. He was thinking about your life. He was thinking about who you would be. He was thinking about in which era to place you. He was thinking about the tapestry of life and connections that you would make. He was thinking about your purpose on the planet. He was thinking before one day on this planet was, He was thinking about you. You're designed by God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that God picked up the dust and he handcrafted you out of dust, but then he breathed into your nostrils. It's incredible that we understand that because we came from dust. There is nothing naturally incredible about us. We came from dust and to dust we return, in a sense. And so there's nothing physically great about us. It's not our own gifts and talents that make us good. What makes us great is the Spirit of God that he breathed into us. Literally, life in me was breathed into you. And when you make yourself available for God, God breathes his Spirit into you. Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37 was walking through a valley of dry bones. It was lifeless. And God said to Ezekiel, begin to prophesy. Begin to speak into your new season. Don't be speaking just about your past. Prophesy future. Prophesy life. And as he aligned his words with what God had already said, then God breathed his life. And God breathes his life into you. When you line up your life, your words, your actions with the word of God, God breathes his life. We understand life is in me today. Come on, who understands life is in us today? I'm designed by God. The second thing we understand from Genesis chapter 1, the first thing is that I'm designed by God. And the second thing is, I'm here for purpose. I'm here for purpose. Genesis 1:28 says that God created us and he blessed us and he said to humanity, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over all of the created things. He gave us dominion. Genesis 2 verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. To work it and to care for it. You are here for purpose. It is God's plan and purpose that every one of us should work at and work for something, that we would work the ground wherever God's placed us. This is part of what God created us to be, not to be idle and to wait for everybody else or wait from handouts, but to put ourselves to activity, to put ourselves to action, to take responsibility of the environment that we live in. This is part of our purpose for why we were created. I don't know what causes the most arguments in your house, but in our house, it's about the chores. Whose responsibility is what? And some things are really, really, really clear in our home, but other things are not. Last week, someone in our house failed to put the bin out. You know this is a bad day, especially when this bin only goes once a month. This is not a good day. And so it creates some tension. We're still working through it. And if you would please pray for us. But you know, these are the big issues in our home. Whose responsibility is it to take the bin out of the drive? And clearly, this was an unset expectation that it was my role. Just leave that there. But in order to make any household work, it takes everybody to take responsibility. We don't play, do we, the blame game? We don't shift responsibility onto somebody else. We don't have unset expectations about who should put the bins out. But every one of us takes responsibility. And the same is true in our world, that it takes every one of us to take responsibility in the place that God has positioned us. And every one of us should be putting ourselves to work in order to work out our purpose, part of our purpose on the face of this earth. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are co-workers in God's service. We're co-workers in God's service. I remember when God spoke to me, I remember being baptized in that baptism under the water, the initial sign that God has come to me, I've responded to his love, and I have a Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing my future life, my future eternal inheritance. In that moment, something happens. Something shifted, and I recognize a new sense of purpose, a new sense of why I'm on the planet. That I recognize my life, whatever I would be doing, was about building God's kingdom on this earth. Wherever I'd be paid by, whatever I'd be doing, whatever season I'd be tasked in, my responsibility was to work this earth in order to bring glory to God. Wherever I am, this is the chief purpose of every person. And so the good news is today you can live God's purpose for your life, because your purpose is not waiting in a few years when you've passed a test. Your purpose begins today by bringing God glory in the place that he's placed you right now. Your purpose starts today. All you need to do is say, God, I am purposed on this planet. I recognize I'm designed by God and I've got a purpose to fulfill. And my purpose starts wherever I find my foot today. I work it as hard as I can as though I'm working for the Lord. I put full effort, focus, and concentration into this moment. Because if I don't work this moment, if I just bury this moment, if I just bury this talent in the ground, then multiplication is never going to happen in my life. And so I take responsibility in this season to make the most, to make it multiply, to see God bring increase in today. Because I'm purposed by God to bring him glory wherever I go. And the last thing is simply this. Number one, I'm designed by God. You are made by God, handcrafted and breathed in by God. You have purpose. And the last thing is I'm here for eternity. I'm here for eternity. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle, in the center of the garden, right at the pinnacle, the center, were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees, the tree of life representing eternal life. That Adam and Eve could eat of this fruit. They could eat of the tree of life. God's one instruction was that to continue to eat freely, you should not eat of the fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. God's intention that we would have eternal relationship with him. That's God's intention for you, that you would have eternity with him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, eternity is written on the hearts of all men. The problem was that Adam and Eve made their choice, gifted free will by the design of God, in order to show God didn't want us to be robots and just worship and love and adore him just because we were created by him, but rather he gave over free will. And Adam and Eve made a decision to eat of the fruit that was forbidden to them. They ate of the tree of the fruit of knowledge and evil, and this act represented them taking control back, saying, okay, we hear you, God, but we're going to live our life our way. Thank you very much. We're going to make our own decision. We're going to choose that we are now final authority. And you, God, can fit in with our plan because we are the authority. And so now we have the knowledge of what's good and evil. We can be in the seat of authority on what's right and what's wrong. We'll be the judge. Adam and Eve made this decision. But with every decision of disobedience, there is a consequence. How many parents know that? Hello, parents? We know if our children deliberately disobey an instruction that is given to them for their good, unfortunately, there is a consequence to disobedience. We see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, the Lord said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life." In this moment, there was a separation between man and God. He was cast out of this Garden of Eden. There was a divide, a separation. And so the question for mankind now is knowing, in a sense, in the eternity within our heart, knowing that we're here for eternal relationship with God, and yet now we find ourselves separated from eternity. Is there any way back to the tree of life? Is there any way back to right relationship with God? See the answer, the incredible grace and mercy of God in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life." God invited us in the Easter season to the tree of life. Said, "Come on, if you come to the tree, if you believe, if you confess with your mouth, then you can have restored relationship. Eternity that was intended for you is restored." See later on in Revelation 22 that we will live one day eating from the tree of life again. And so we see all through Scripture this incredible picture, this incredible tree of life. Jesus gave his life to give us a substitution. He said, "Come on, we can swap. I'll give my life for yours. You give your disobedience, your sin, your wrongdoing, and I'll give you my right standing before God. You can come back into a fully restored relationship with God." That's available for every single one of us today. I want to take a moment just to ask you to close your eyes. If you're at home, you can just bow your head. If you're in the auditorium, just bow your head and close your eyes for a second. And I wonder if today you find yourself away from God. You wouldn't know what it is to have relationship with God. You find yourself making your own decisions in life and making some mistakes along the way. And maybe today is the first time you've heard about who you were created by, why you were created, why you're on the planet, and what your future intention by your Creator was. Today, if you respond to God, relationship with Him is fully restored. You can live from today knowing where you came from, who you're doing life with today, and where you will go in the next life. Maybe you've never responded, you've never said yes to this invitation of God to come to the cross. Jesus, I pray for people in this auditorium and at home right now, maybe for the first time are responding in their heart to you. They've heard your word. They've heard you speak to them wherever they are. You're arresting their heart. There's a resonation that's happening right now. And I pray, God, that you would speak clearly as they respond to make you Lord, make you number one in their life. I pray you give them the courage to turn away from their past and to face you. And from this day, they will walk following you, Jesus. This is life in all of its fullness. And it starts today. Thank you. Your word tells us today is a new day and we are a new creation in connection with you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.